bounce pass to Moody, left side. Ball going side to side for the Dubs as well. Curry with a catch. Deep three right in the circle. It's up and good. Post with a screen. Curry gives Golden State the lead. 36-35, their first advantage of the first half.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Steph Curry and the Warriors take on the Los Angeles Lakers coming up tonight, a nationally televised game. Are you into rivalry week there, Ev?
What the hell is rivalry week?
It's the Warriors taking on their nemesis from down south, the Los Angeles Lakers. Hi, everybody.
They're going to go into your NFL Films voice. Are they rivals with the Bulls?
Sacramento.
That's true. I think that's a rivalry. We had a lot of people saying that it's not, but I think there's a rivalry there. I mean, at least for the fans, I remember a couple nights ago, Rizzotto was actually in Sacramento. I feel like Steve would be able to weigh in on this. Steve, do you feel like, was there a rivalry kind of energy in the building on Wednesday?
Yes, and if it's not a rivalry, it's only because Golden State fans don't think so. But Kings fans, like, they're there on it. Like, they're 100% there.
I totally agree. A lot of my friends were talking about, I'm still afraid of Steph, and they're scarred from the 50-point Game 7 a couple of years ago in the first round. I think they really enjoyed knocking the Warriors out of the play-in last year. Yeah, I think there's, I don't know if there's bad blood between the players, but the fans, I think the fans are into it.
Hey, I saw a beam, though. I saw my first beam. They lit the beam, and I
how was it?
Light that beam.
15 minutes in awe.
The coolest awesome. Gimmick in sports.
Hey, Possum, what do you do after a game in Sacramento? Like, where do people go? Can you go get a drink?
Dude, Old Town. It's right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a bunch of stuff in that area. Old Town's right down there. The Capitol. Now, I'm not going to go to the Capitol, but they got a bunch of stuff down there in that area. And after that game, I went home, man. After waiting for Steph Curry, he always kind of takes some time with his post-game presser. And, I went home. It was late. I had to be here the next morning.
Yeah, Pasta was actually helping me the next day. It was like, dude, you probably got in at like, what, 1 a.m.?
12:45.
Oh, my God.
Mark's hanging out in San Francisco, California. Wants to talk about the Warriors and chemistry. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, as much as talent, gentlemen, I think chemistry is what you have to look at. And if you look at what Quentin Post brings, he really, you know, opens up the floor for some of the skills of the other players on this team. And I think chemistry is just as important as talent. You got to get the right guys fitting. And I think he brings a lot of that. And that's why I'm really excited about him and a lot of the young players on the Warriors.
Hmm. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I think
I'm just not as excited as everybody else.
Well, you know, again, it's. I think with the way that they've been playing, it's a breath of fresh air, right?
Oh, no doubt.
And it's something different. I think that's one of the reasons why it's been hard for Warriors fans, at least the ones that I've talked to get on board with this team when they were middling. It's because, like, there wasn't even a flash of somebody young, because Kuminga got hurt, Pajemski got hurt, Moody wasn't getting run. Like, now, at the very least, there's something to watch that you could project down the line. Like, Curry is the all-time entertainer, but he's getting worse. You know, he's not improving because he's 36 years old. Draymond Green is clearly not getting better as a basketball player. So the fact that the Warriors have been losing games and stuck around 500 for a bit, combined with, well, what do I have to look forward to? That's where I think a lot of fans have been resigned to that kind of dark place, whereas now, is post Dirk Nowitzki? Hell no. But he's something fresh. He's sure. Something new. And the Warriors kind of need a facelift, even if it's a small one.
I agree with you. You couldn't. Perfect. Perfectly well said, Evan.
Thank you, Dan. Now, I got to ask you.
Now you're going to screw it up. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to rip you. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. But I do think we have to figure out where they go from here, because it could all come crashing down tonight, right? I mean, again, the Lakers just beat the Celtics by 20, a team that beat you by 40 on Monday.
The Celtics were at the back end of a long road trip, overtime games. I mean, I'm not making excuses for Boston. But
no, but they clearly cared about the MLK Day game. I'm not saying they cared on, what was it, Thursday. The Celtics have just been sleepwalking, but I think they woke up because, well, they were trying to beat the Warriors in what has become just an annual, like, Beantown beatdown that they hand in Boston or Golden State, wherever. But tonight, there's going to be juice. And I know for a fact that this game is already sold out. There's no comp tickets left. Every seat will be filled. there is juice in Chase Center tonight. So it's a big game. There's not a lot of games over the course of the season now that I think, all right, we have LeBron and AD against Steph. There's star power. Saturday night, everyone's watching. Like, this is, I think it is a big game for the Warriors. It's a really good test for them.
Yeah. And it's going to be all eyes on Quentin Post, I think. And it's going to be fun to see this new toy that the Warriors have to roll out against specifically the Lakers and Anthony Davis. Because Anthony Davis has never, as I mentioned, had to extend on a Warrior opponent since he's been a Los Angeles Laker. You're certainly not going out to guard TJD or Kevon Looney or Draymond Green, but tonight it'll be interesting.
Do you think they're kind of in the same place as franchises?
Yeah, very similar.
The Warriors and the Lakers.
Very, very similar. Very similar. They're both teams that are older.
Yeah.
And they're both teams that have limited talent as far as their current roster construction.
The one thing that the Lakers do have an advantage in is being a destination. I mean, they're always a team that is in the mix for free agents or for big name trades.
Not as much as the Dodgers, but I get your point.
don't talk about that.
Yeah, that one's going to cut Rizzy to the core because he's a big Giants fan. By the way, who cares? Spend as much money as you want. I don't mind. Break the game. Why not?
It's exactly what they're doing. The imbalance is like baseball can't continue down that road.
So you think there's eventually going to be like a NBA
salary cap? I think so.
I don't think so. Because that's not the way baseball operates. Like basketball is, if anything, well, we are starting to see a shift in both sports. The second apron era is, I don't really know if I like it, to be honest, Dan.
No.
Because I don't think it encourages the one thing that made the NBA unique for the better part of 15 years, which is player movement.
Yeah.
It makes it really difficult.
It's like, too limiting.
So like before the break, you brought up Curry, right? And while people might think it's sacrilegious, I do think there's a conversation to be had, depending on how the rest of the season goes, about Curry and his future. What could the Warriors get for him, all the rest? But just logistically, because of the second apron or the first apron, whatever you're trying to be under, acquiring a $60 million player is such an arduous task. Like, just fundamentally getting that trade done is so damn difficult because of the new CBA that I don't think there is going to be a bunch of big players on the move this summer the way there seemingly was every single offseason. The best part about the NBA, damn near every single year, is the fact that it can remain relevant in the offseason. And we're going to hear about rumors and the Warriors being, you know, attached to whatever the new version of Paul George or Lauri Markkanen is. But the idea of a big-name superstar leaving and going somewhere else, it's just so difficult to do now.
I agree with you. I do want to discuss, again, they want to discourage the high salary spending on players.
Yeah.
And so I think if you were to revisit the league a couple of years ago, it was getting a little one-sided.
Well, I think they were trying to prevent what the Dodgers are doing, which exactly. is basically if you can foot the luxury tax bill, you can go get whoever you want.
I want to revisit Steph Curry again. All right? Here's an $8,000 suit. Put it on.
Never had one of those.
Let me get you some hair gel.
Okay.
Because it's a requirement if you're going to be GM. You got to slick it back. I think Pat Riley started that back in the day.
By the way,
I know. You don't like Riley.
He's jumped the shark.
You're a Jimmy Butler guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Okay, wait. I think you're misusing jump the shark. Because I think I had to tell you where that arrived from, jump the shark.
Yeah, from
Happy Days.
The Fonz.
Yeah.
Yeah, but jumping the shark is being over the hill, right?
No.
Jumping the shark is you're no longer...
It means you've lost your edge.
Okay, then I think I used it properly.
Well,
Pat Riley's lost his edge.
Here's a good example is that when Howard Stern, who was all about edge when you listen to his radio show, when he went to The Voice and became television, he had jumped the shark, a lot of people felt. That he was no... Like if Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports suddenly becomes somebody that is more mainstream, he would have jumped the shark because he's looking to get commercialized so he can make more money. Happy Days was like Fonz. They got to the point where they were like trying to appease everybody with him. I mean, the guy was like,
and they did some ridiculous stuff.
He was like a hood with a leather jacket was his persona, and then all of a sudden he's literally jumping a shark in Los Angeles, going off a ramp off a ski boat. Like, well, how did we get here? And it's because they were, it was at the end of their run as a sitcom or as a television drama, and they were trying to appease an entirely different audience. So they
I also think that someone like Pat Riley is coming to an end of being leader of a successful organization. The Miami Heat are a middling franchise right now. I mean, they've only been successful when Jimmy Butler has helped them recently, when he's been the key figure, and now he wants out. I don't know if he's going to help Phoenix, which it looks like is the place that he's going to go, but Pat Riley, I know it's all about money, and there's a disagreement, and Jimmy's, I'm not trying to, by any means, make excuses for how he's acting, but trying to fight fire with fire is not going to get the job done. Like, Pat Riley should have known that this was a player that you're going to have to try and extinguish and placate to, but that's not who he is.
Well, Pat Riley's living in a different era. It's a players' league now. Players will go where it is that they want to go, especially if you're Jimmy Butler. And why Phoenix? You want to go after Pat Riley. What the hell is Phoenix thinking?
I don't know if there's an example for this, but like, all right, you're at, I don't know, some blackjack table. You're in deep with the sharks, right? You got a lot of money you owe, and you're trying to win it back. Suns are just continuing to double down. Like, well, you know, we're going to get killed, or they're going to take a hand, whatever loan shark that I own a lot of money to. They're going to take a pound of flesh from me anyways. So the least I can do is try and win it all back, and if I can't, I'll just stay at the table until they tell me to leave, and I got to go meet my eventual demise anyways. Like, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, I don't think catapults them into contention, but he's something different, you know? Like, they traded an unprotected first for three first, I am assuming to go then and use to acquire Butler. And why not? Like, you don't have any of your picks till 2030 anyways. You might as well just sacrifice the 2031 one.
Would you be surprised if Kevin Durant gets up and gets the hell out of there this offseason?
No.
Really? Yeah.
No, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It also wouldn't surprise me if the Warriors made some calls to Matt Ishbia and the Phoenix Suns about Kevin Durant.
Oh, God.
That's something we're going to hear, dude.
I know. We heard it last offseason.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was as much about, like, I don't know if it was legitimately realistic, but
you can't go back, man. You cannot go back. You cannot reverse the clock and go back to 2016.
Why not? Again, they tried it in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Remember when he was running the car in reverse to try and reverse the odometer?
Yes. Great show, buddy.
You can do it. Doesn't mean it's going to work.
What's your favorite line from a movie?
My favorite line
from
a movie?
What was Ferris Bueller's?
Oh, my God.
What was Ferris Bueller's? He's a real. What was the line that woman had? He's a really hip dude? Or what?
Oh, Ferris. Well, Charlie Sheen probably is my favorite character in that movie. He was the greaseball at the office that Ferris's sister Jeannie runs into and falls in love with at first sight. But
give me your favorite line from a movie. It's hard.
From one movie?
Yeah, if you had to give me one that jumps into your head.
Oh my God. Well, from Ferris Bueller, when Cameron's doing the crank call to Mr. Rooney, well, pardon my French, Mr. Rooney, but you're an a-hole. I love that line.
Oh, boy.
And he's on the phone faking the line, like he's the dad.
I think I loved you more recreating it. Let me see. What can I? I'll give you one when we get back into the Warriors.
Gotta be. So one of my favorite movies is John Wick. And when they're telling the story about Baba Yaga, the boogeyman, right? The Russian mobster is describing a scene of John Wick to impress upon his son just how badly he is effed up. And he looks at him and he goes, I once saw Mr. Wick kill three men with a pencil, with a bleeping Spencel. And he did the... There's something about it that I just absolutely love.
That's strong.
Yeah. With a bleeping pencil.
What can I... All right, I got one for you.
You just asked me the question. What
I
do you got?
I got one for you. Because I saw this recently. I don't know if you remember A Few Good Men.
Ah.
So Tom Cruise, two Hall of Famers, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson in a courtroom drama. And Tom Cruise is cross-examining the legend Jack Nicholson in the climactic scene. Did you order the code red? I did what I had to do. Did you order the code red? You're goddamn right I did.
That is really good. Another Tom Cruise movie, which I do love, Jerry Maguire. Show me the money, Jerry! Yeah. Show me the money! Oh, my God.
All right, what the hell? Oh, I went here because we're with Pat Riley. You need to slick your hair back and get a $10,000 suit. So, you're the GM of the Golden State Warriors.
Yep, back on track.
Now, you don't have the consent of Steph Curry. You haven't had a conversation with Steph Curry. I'm just calling you up. And I'm OKC. Now, OKC has a... OKC doesn't...
They got a freaking treasure chest is what they got.
You know, they still have...
Yeah.
They still have picks from the Paul George trade?
Dude, they're 2030. Or something like that. That's They also, I think, own Philadelphia's pick this year, which is looking like it's going to be a really good pick because they stink.
Unfair. Okay, I'll use Orlando because we need a shooter, all right? And so, unbeknownst to Steph Curry, he's not privy to any of this. I call you up as the GM of the Golden State Warriors, and I'm like, hey, listen, I got a couple of young players that are up and coming, and I'm going to give you 4 first-round draft picks. Are you listening to that? Are you entertaining that? Are you going back to Steve Kerr and saying, what do you want to do?
Hit me that.
Or are you hanging up on him?
Hit me with that trade again.
Well, I'm trying to think of the players that they can move so I can get into Orlando's roster.
Well, so to me, if you are to make a big trade that is moving down the road that you want, Dan DeVone, which is to kind of reset this thing, then I'm prioritizing picks over players. Like, give me whoever you want. I'll take expirings, I'll take toxic contracts, I'll take whoever you want, but I need your best picks. So someone like Orlando is actually not a team that I would trade with because odds are they're going to be pretty good for an extended period of time because their best players are 21 and 22. OKC, similar. But the difference between OKC and Orlando is OKC has access to Houston's draft picks.
Yeah, I want to see Orlando.
I think they have access. Well, they obviously have access to Philly's draft picks. They've acquired other teams, maybe even Phoenix. They do have some Phoenix picks because of the Chris Paul deal from a couple years back. So, like, those are the picks that I want in addition to keeping mine. I'm not really interested in Orlando's. A team that I would like to trade with to acquire picks, but they probably wouldn't want to. Like, if at the deadline, someone brought up Ben Simmons. If the Warriors could get Ben Simmons, if they decided like they want to tank, if they want to just lean into losing, which I don't think they will, but one way to do that was give me Ben Simmons' contract and attach a first-round pick. Like, that's a way that you can try and, I think, you know, acquire some future capital, and it wouldn't be this season. It would be like kind of similar to how they did with Jordan Poole. Like, they attached with Poole, I think, a protected, I don't know if it was heavily protected or lightly protected, but a protected first-round pick to go to Washington. So come 2030, Washington might have access to that pick.
Okay, but just getting back specifically, because you're dancing around Steph Curry, would you trade Steph Curry? And I don't know who the team is.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm theorizing here.
Yeah.
And get first-round picks in the near future. And I'm talking about high picks.
No. No. I wouldn't.
And your reasoning is?
Because I don't think the Warriors are going to be very good even maybe the last couple of years, however long Curry lasts. So I think their own picks are going to be pretty good. And to me, the value of Curry being a Golden State Warrior for the entirety of his career is more valuable than taking a couple of big home run swings and watching him fade into the sunset somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm really on the fence with this.
It's not an easy conversation to have, but it's something they'll have to broach. Like, because I don't think the Warriors are headed towards winning a playoff.
But not according to Steve Kerr. Remember, Steve Kerr's like, there's no way.
But I think that was more about Curry asking for a trade. Because what we're describing is the front office basically saying, Steph, God love you, but we have a chance here to really rebuild this thing.
Can't send him to Orlando. That'd be so unfair.
Well, what if Orlando's a contender?
Well, still, you would like him to go to a place that he signs off on.
Yeah. I mean, no, you can't treat Curry like, like the Miami cheater trying to treat Jimmy Butler. Yeah. you can't do that. But I think that the hypotheticals, like that noise is going to get louder. And I actually think it's going to get pretty loud around February 16th, which is the All-Star game, because it's in Curry's backyard. It's his house. All lights are going to be on him. And he's going to have to answer a lot of questions from a lot of both national and international media about what the remainder of his future is. I mean, he's the one that's on record this summer saying, I don't want to play for a bottom feeder. And God love Golden State, they look closer to a bottom feeder than a contender this season.
You know, this happened, I think I've told you this story, my first year in Seattle. The general manager was Buzz Bevesi, I think, Jr., and he held...
What a name.
He held... his dad was a legendary guy who I want to say was a GM president with the Brooklyn Dodgers going way back in the... Or his grandfather, he came from a strong line of baseball people from back east. And anyways, Buzz Bevesi calls this press conference, right? This wasn't just something that he just sort of shot from his hip. He had this formal press conference. I remember it was one of the first press conferences I ever went to down at what was then Safeco Field.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this declaration that we are not trading Edgar Martinez. We are not trading Dan Wilson. We are not trading John Olerud. Now, this was after they had won, those 116 games and were still good, but they were sort of like where the Warriors are at. Well, no, the Warriors are much further along in terms of not being good, but you could see that the core was aging.
Like Edgar would have been in his mid-30s.
And so he was saying they're synonymous with Seattle and the rebuild, and these players are more than just, baseball players. They're part of the fabric that is the community. The Seattle Mariners up until last year went nearly two decades without being good or getting to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And my point in all of that is that sometimes you have to check emotion and sentimentality at the door. So much like that of Steve Kerr saying there's no way Steph Curry is being traded or the idea that he's hands off, I get it. And the older I get, the more I begin to understand that, let's think about the human component factoring into a lot of this and the goodwill is in terms of how we treat people, especially someone like that of Steph Curry. But at the same time, if your bottom line as a ruthless sort of business tycoon, we got to get to a break, is to win, and if that's all you're about is winning, and that pretty much summarizes, I think, the majority of Dub Nation and every fan base, don't you have to consider it? And we have to, take your response on the other side, but I'll let you tease it.
If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might just miss it.
Is that the lyrics from a song?
Ferris Bueller. 707, thank you very much.
All right. Okay, we can just chew on that for the next minute and a half.
I'll answer you. Well, we got to take a break here. I was trying to send it off on a high note.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do for a minute and a half. We're going to chew on what it is you just said. We'll be back. Okay, we'll wrap up the show. Right after this on Warriors This Week.
I did the job. Did you order the cold drink?
You're goddamn right I did.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Pasta.
Oh, my pasta.
Steven Risotto. That is A1 producing right there.
A few good men.
over Happy Days.
Yes. Happy Days.
He's a righteous dude. That was the line you were looking for earlier.
Yeah. I told you, the woman who delivered that, she wanted to get compensated for it because it was not in the script, and she ad-libbed it and felt as though, hey, listen, man, there's an iconic line. I need to get some more money.
There's a lot of those, like, kind of mythical stories. Some are true, some aren't. The one that I always remember, I think it was Sylvester Stallone, where he had to sell his dog in order to provide enough money to make Rocky.
Yeah, I heard that. He made in Midtown Manhattan, a little studio is where he wrote that thing.
Yeah, he wrote it like in a few days. But then the moment that he got the cash back for the movie, the first thing he did was go buy his dog back. Like, I could not imagine I don't have a dog, but if I had to sell my dog, that would tear my soul apart. Sell your best friend?
By the way, there is supposed to be an Avatar 3 coming out.
What?
Yeah.
There's a second?
Oh, wait, or is it Avatar 2?
Well, Avatar 2 is, I think, is out.
And it's Avatar 3.
Oh, my God. Dude, all right, speaking of Cameron's, James Cameron's got to pump the brakes. He's like Pat Riley. By the way, a lot of people chiming in on the text line, YouTube chat. People
Avatar
texting
3.
Me.
Fire and Ash.
Yeah, I did use Jump the Shark correctly. James Cameron's Jump the Shark. How about that?
Okay, what are they saying about Jump the Shark?
I don't know. They just said I'm right and you're wrong. But we got to figure this thing out, Dan. All right, what are you looking forward to tonight at Chase Center?
What am I looking forward to?
Quentin Post.
Yeah, I want to see Quentin Post continue.
I love the guy, but my God.
I love it. It's fun.
He's the biggest billing in a game with LeBron, AD, and Steph.
It's so much fun having this guy, and especially his background, and the fact that he's not a two-guard or a wing, but a 7'1" dude. You just don't see a lot of those guys in Warrior uniforms.
Yeah.
Going way back in the day. Way back in the day. You know what I happened to see on YouTube on a flight recently? Sometimes, you know, if you're looking at something over an extended period of time, and then you go on YouTube, it'll give you videos, suggested videos. It's all done through algorithms.
Sure.
And for some reason, I got into like these 1970 NBA games, and it was Robert Parrish's rookie year with the Golden State Warriors before he, of course, became part of that legendary front line with the Boston Celtics. And when you think about Robert Parrish, he's like one of the few 7-footers going back to the 1970s that the Warriors have ever had. Like, Bogut, they're few and far between. So anytime a Quentin Post comes out of nowhere and starts doing what he's doing, you know, people like me sit up and take notice. Like, holy crap, that's a 7-footer that's doing that. So, yeah, my eyes are on this guy to see if he can continue and keep it rolling for another game against AD, of all people.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just take the easy pick. I'm looking for Steph tonight. Steph's got to have a big game. Like, actually, the season high for Steph, 38 points, came against the Lakers last time they played them. And remember, they lost, even though Steph dragged them back, gave them, I don't know if it was the lead or a tie, but Reeves had that last-second layup where it blew by Wiggins and Kuminga was lost in the baseline.
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Yep. That was a great game.
Yeah.
These teams always put together a show. And I believe it was last year at Chase Center was the double overtime loss. These are all losses for the Warriors, which suck. But it doesn't mean that they don't put together awesome performances. And in a regular season, like, I don't know. Do you feel like one of the reasons why they have to build this game up is, you know, the Quentin Post game. But the Curry versus LeBron is because, like, this is what the NBA has left.
Mm.
The young superstars are not as magnetic as the old ones. And maybe that's also the reason why those names are floated around trade rumors is because they do numbers. I Zion Williamson being on the block, he's a great young talent. He could potentially change a franchise if he could ever stay healthy. But it's like his name doesn't move the needle like Jimmy Butler does, and Jimmy Butler's over the hill.
Yeah. Well, I brought this up to you a couple of months ago, or about a month ago, that the NBA does not have all their American stars are over the age of 35. And the only star player under the age of 30 is in the WNBA, and her name's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. That's an issue, I think, for the NBA. You know, I want to, one guy I just want to talk about is Buddy Hield.
Well, real quick, to your point, the highest selling jerseys are still Curry, LeBron, Durant. Yeah. Like, they're all starting in the All-Star game, but they're also, they also got a lot of gray hairs. Or, and if you're Kevin Durant, you got a little bald spot.
That's the consumer base. It's like, it's not an indictment that people are being nationalistic and can't recognize the talents of Wembanyama or the Joker. It's just identifiability, right? That's all it is. It's a, that's very, I'm dealing with this on a completely different project, part of a promotional team out of New York City, and we're sort of in this MMA combat sport, and one of the things that we have is Muay Thai boxing, which is highly, highly entertaining.
Yeah.
But I'm an advocate. I have to be very careful how I approach this, is that we have to change the name, because it's not something that the United States consumer base is going to be able to buy into. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with bare knuckle fighting, which to me, it's way too brutal for me, but bare knuckle fighting, like the bare knuckle fighting championship, it's the new thing in terms of combat sport. It's on the heels of UFC in terms of its popularity. A lot of it's just simply the name in and of itself. Bare knuckle fighting is about as Americana and goes back centuries, as opposed to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the well, I mean, since we were talking about movies earlier, Snatch is about bare knuckle boxing. Brad Pitt. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Machine Gun, what's his name?
The Gypsies?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Brad Pitt just takes a bunch
Brad
of blows.
Brad Pitt was awesome.
He's incredible in that movie. Yeah. Jason Statham. Anyways. All
right. So, I want to get in, throw in a little Buddy Love here before...
Chavano!
Yeah.
He didn't shoot it well against Chicago, though.
He didn't play... You know, Buddy Hield is interesting. Buddy Hield, to me, is emblematic of where the Warriors are at.
Yeah.
Because you never saw players like Buddy Hield on Warrior rosters and or Dennis Schroeder.
Hmm.
And this is what I mean. This is the evolution and sort of where we've arrived at when it comes to the Warriors. The Warriors back in, was it 2016, arguably the greatest starting lineup in the history of the sport. Maybe the Chicago Bulls, the only other team that could rival it with Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, and company. But the Warriors with the Splash Brothers, Durant and Draymond, everybody in their prime might have been the greatest starting lineup. And even since then, it's still the Splash Brothers, but they got a little bit older. It was still Draymond. You had the foundation. It was Kevon Looney, who won an NBA championship and was so pivotal against the Celtics. And then it was, you know, there was Andrew Wiggins, who also had an MVP-type performance. And so they were just, you know, we knew who they were, and they were these, you know, these players that sort of were on a completely different level. But maybe that, you know, the door was open when they got rid of Klay Thompson, and now we have guys like Buddy Hield,
mm-hmm,
on the team that are integral parts. That's, since when do you use Sacramento's refuge or a guy that couldn't get off the bench with Philadelphia or Dennis Schroeder, who is the definition of a journeyman? Suddenly the Warriors are that team. They used to be this fortress where the Buddy Hields of the world, you're a good player, but you're not allowed over here. Like, you can't come in here. We're the Warriors, for crying out loud. But now I think he's emblematic in that It's a sign to everybody that the Warriors are no longer that team. They're no longer part of the top tier, that they are clearly part of the middling, the average basketball teams when Buddy Hield becomes an integral part of your roster.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why the construction of the roster is problematic. It's because you're an injury or two away, and unfortunately the Melton one is probably the biggest one in regards to Hield, but you're an injury or two away from needing Buddy Hield to start. And when Buddy Hield starts, like, I think he's symbolic for the way their season's gone. When he scores 18 or more points, they're 10-0. Do the math for when he doesn't score 18 points. You can't count on him to get you 18 points a game on an efficient clip every single night. You know, that's why I thought he was a good option to replace Klay, because Klay had become pretty volatile as far as his score. Now, he means more to the fabric of the Warriors and has definitely more of a built-in base. But Klay Thompson, the last couple of years, really last year, he would have a game where he would go 6-for-8 and 1-for-8. There weren't as many 3-for-8s, 4-for-8s. It's the same for Buddy Hield. Like, the performances are just on such a wide spectrum that it's impossible to know what you're going to expect from him. Same for Dennis Schroeder. You know, I didn't think he fit in the first place. I recognized that they needed a player and they got him, but like he's in terms of plus minus, like he's legitimately been their worst player since they acquired him. So you're right that the Warriors don't have players that A, fit, and B, are relied upon way too much. But it's also because there's not as much top-end talent on this team. You know, when they had, even before Durant came, Steph, Clay, Dre, okay, Iguodala, right? I mean, Leandro Barbosa was a journeyman, a gunner. He spent a long time in Phoenix, but after that, you know, trying to figure things out. Sean Livingston dealt with a lot of early injuries in his career. He played for a lot of different teams. They got him cheaply from Brooklyn. But those were players that didn't have to play out of their role. I think that's why, to your point, Dan, there's a lack of identity with this team. There are too many players that are a 6 or a 7 on like a good roster that have to on some nights be a 2 or a 3. And that's where you really run into trouble relying on guys that have to do too much. And the Warriors of old, you could plug and play Zaza. You could plug and play JaVale McGee. You could even bring in Boogie Cousins. Like, you could Jordan Bell, Patrick McCaw, Quinn Cook. These are all players that, after Cousins, the ones that I named, they're not like big name guys. But imagine if Quinn Cook had to be your starting point guard. Like, you wouldn't be a very good basketball team. And that's kind of where they are.
What's the over and under tonight for your man Quentin Post? How many points is he getting against Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers?
Ooh. How many points is he scoring?
I'll give you 12. Is he over or under?
So he's making 4 threes?
Oh, and 12 points. I don't know how he arrives at it. According to...
Well, he's going
to
be shooting threes.
Well, the doc says he's got an inside game that apparently he could unveil tonight. Let's see.
I would love to see it.
Oh, man, if he throws out a jump hook tonight, I'll scream Doc's name to the heavens no matter where I'm at.
I think 12 is a good number. If we're okay, so if we're setting it at 11.5 for Quentin Post.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this. You're leaning over. You think he's getting over 11.5 points?
I do, yeah.
I think I would lead under tonight. I think this is a tough matchup. Well, just the size, like the physical presence of the Lakers, I think is going to demand them to play a little more towards their traditional centers.
I'm caught up in it, man.
But you said that he's not going to save the season.
He's not. It's just a sideshow.
Quitting mania.
It's sort of like Buddy Hield the first week of the season. It's sort of like when Jonathan Kuminga has it going for a couple of weeks. It's not sustainable. It's not something to build off of. These aren't foundational pieces. And that's the misinterpretation here, is a lot of Warrior fans think that, oh, we found a guy, and this is how we're going to win in the future. It's not. It's not at all. But live in the here and now, and as of tonight, I think it's going to be fun.
Well, it should be. And again, it's going to be a packed crowd. One thing that I love going to games, and I love doing pre and post from Chase Center, because you can really feel the energy. Thank you. Steve's going to be in the building tonight.
How are you guys going to throw me a ticket? I'd like to go, or two.
Well, we're
tickets.
Not going with tickets.
Well, I want tickets. I need a press pass.
Well, first I'll get you a ticket, then I'll get you into the All-Star parties in a couple weeks.
Are you working on that, by the way?
Saturday night.
What do you mean? Where are we going?
I don't know yet. It's undisclosed location. I'm not going to tell you on the air where we're going. I just know a guy that knows a guy who knows a guy. That's right. Going to be able to take us somewhere.
I'll take it.
It might be on the other side of the bridge, though, so you might have to bring your passport.
Oh, come on. Nothing's happening on the other side
what
of the bridge.
What are you talking about?
It's
Oaktown
be in the city
that is big time.
Listen, the NBA All-Star Game is played in San Francisco. All the Super Bowl parties, when the Super Bowl went off at Levi, were all in San Francisco. Super Bowl parties when the Super Bowl was in Stanford, for crying out loud, everything's in San Francisco. It's not happening in the East Bay.
You do know that there's a lot of legendary ballers from the other side of the bridge.
Mosswood Park, man.
Yeah, but Oaktown's big time. We got a lot of guys coming in that are going to be throwing some shindigs.
But not in Oakland.
I need you to be open to the possibility of us being in the hills at a ritzy place.
Oh, the hills. Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, Temescal. All right, Montclair.
All right.
Yeah, I'm talking above 580, brother.
All right.
Well, I hope. I'm not going to lie. This is not a 100% thing. We on All Star Weekend.
Going to the Hofbrau on the Hagenburger. So
yeah, well, my bad. I'm not going to take you to what's the chicken joint off Broadway? But it's really good. Might be Hot Ones, but no, we're not going to be down by 19th Street.
All right,
but I also
I can roll down there as well, man. I got street cred. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, but you got to get back to the other side of the bridge before midnight, and we're going to be out late, you and I. Bring some coffee. Well, though, but you got to wake up early, though, because just like today, you got to get up and get in the ocean. Dude, Dan's been swimming. I don't think people understand. Dan Devone's been swimming. How many miles have you logged so far this year? Because you got to get to 50, right?
Yeah, I'm at not even at late teens, so it's going to be a slog to try and get there.
But swimming a mile in the ocean is not. How do you even track it? Do you wear a device or something?
Well, they have measuring. So there's buoys. There's courses.
Okay.
That you can measure your distance
like
by.
Mini golf.
Well, kind of. Like within the cove, there are, I'd say, maybe 75 different courses that you can actually swim to the pier, you can swim to the flag, you can swim to the breakers, and all of them have a mileage attached to that.
You got enough juice to get me into one of these places?
To the Dolphin Club? Just show up, man. Just show up in shorts and a pot belly and you're in.
Well, but I might need a wetsuit, or are those frowned upon?
You can't wear a wetsuit.
Is that like...
You can't, so if you want it, so during what we're talking about is... During the winter solstice, it's called the polar bear. And in order to swim the 50 miles, you cannot be recognized for swimming 50 miles in the coldest months of the year, or 40 miles during the coldest months of the year, if you're wearing a wetsuit.
Well, I'm already under the weather, Dan. I need some warmth.
It's the best remedy, man.
You're asking me to hibernate, essentially.
You need to catch pneumonia.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, okay, I show up in a wetsuit. Is that like making a divot on a green on a golf course?
You know who showed up in a wetsuit?
Who?
For the first month? Until they literally had to pin him down like a pledge.
Lombardi?
And remove it from...
Yes. David Lombardi?
I didn't want to throw out the name of David Lombardi, athletic
You didn't have to confirm it, but I knew who it was.
Formally.
Colder than a polar bear's toenails. Thank you, Uncle Loon. Yeah, shout out to our YouTube chat. Shout out to all of our texters, everyone that's called in today.
So you're going under. You're going under tonight with your man, Quentin Post?
Sorry, what?
You're going under 11.5.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a difficult matchup tonight. And, dude, like, scoring 20 points in the NBA is not an easy task. I know he made it look like it because he was butt naked open from the three-point line. But
okay, how's this?
If he takes 10 threes in this game, I would be shocked. Because I know that he's not Dirk, but he's on the scouting report. Everyone knows that this guy is a shooter now. And so what I think that Post is going to do tonight, while he himself might not score a lot, he's going to open things up for others. Like, that's where I think his biggest strength for this team lies. Yeah, he can make a three-pointer and is certainly a threat, but he demands you to space out your defense.
Mm.
So I think that the Lakers are going to have a more difficult time defending the paint, which, if you've watched a lot of Warriors-Lakers games, the paint's generally unavailable when Anthony Davis is there. So the goal of Post is to just draw Davis out, or to draw Hachimura or any other player that can make it difficult to finish. And I don't think, you're going to have to give it some time, but I also think that Post can be a reason during his 15 to maybe 20 minutes why the Warriors aren't as bad of a team at layups. It's a lot harder to make a layup when there are trees, and Post demands that those trees aren't as close to the restricted area.
Where are you at with J.J. Redick? You like him?
No. No, of course not.
Why? Because he went after our man Lucas Alexander?
Well, that's one reason. Also, well, he's just... J.J. Redick is one of those guys that strikes me as he thinks he's the smartest man in any room that he steps into.
Yeah.
And there's no room for conversation or discussion.
Possibly.
Yeah, it might be Shanahan. Although Shanahan's legitimately brilliant. J.J. Redick has done nothing to me to indicate that he's an innovator than the way Shanahan is.
I think that might come with the years. He's still a young guy.
Well, he should have got the job in the first place.
Well, you have an issue with a guy who goes from a podcaster to being a head NBA coach?
Well, he's definitely moving on up. I think he's... What do you give me for this? He's Steve Nash as a head coach.
Well, he's in a much better situation, though.
Well, Steve Nash had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant.
That's true. How come that didn't work out? That's right.
Well, they were close. They were never on the court at the same time. But J.J. Redick is, he's a bridge, you know. I don't think he's an idiot. I actually did like his podcast, but to me, he's not an NBA head coach. Do you
JJ
like him?
Went after Lucas?
When? Yeah, director of sports. Called him on a number that we didn't know was his personal phone, and so he ripped Lucas for calling him on his personal phone, so he'd never do this again. He's a jackass.
Yeah, he just comes across that way. But well, he was like that at Duke, man. He's a total Dukey.
By the way, real quick, before we got to get out of here, Duke has kind of had a makeover. Like, the players that come out of Duke are not as disliked as I feel like all the ones from J.J. Redick's era and prior.
Grayson Allen?
Well, he stinks. He's also, well, he's dirty, though. That's a little bit different.
Hey, we want to take this call or we want to get out?
No. I think Steve's telling him we got to get out.
Okay.
But, like, Derek Lively, I like him. Zion.
Lively's a good dude.
Zion. R.J. Barrett.
That's right.
Brandon Ingram. Who else?
Zion might be the most atypical Duke guy. You know who's the most atypical for their school? Is Zion Williamson for Duke, and Richard Sherman went to Stanford. Does that make sense?
That's a good call. Yeah, some of the strangest guys to represent a university. Zion does not seem like a Dukey. Well, remember, he was, I think, early in his high school recruitment, I want to say that South Carolina thought they were going to get him.
That's where he's from.
Because he's from Columbus. But Duke came in and swooped him. Who else?
I think the Warriors need to go swoop him.
Zion?
Oh, hell yeah.
What, so we can ride the pine?
Who?
You know where Zion Williamson might be?
San Antonio.
Hot Boys.
What do you mean?
The chicken place I'm going to take you to at All-Star Weekend.
That's where we're going, in the hills?
Well, it's not in the hills. We stop, by the way, get some chicken, drop a little hot sauce on there, have a good time.
All right. With that, we got to get out.
All right.
All right. From my man, Evan Giddings, I hope you do better. Get well. My man, just shut it down for a night, all right? Just shut it down. All right, just turn off your phone.
I'll see you at Chase Center.
Everybody's calling this guy to do this, that, and the other thing. Turn it down. Get some tea. Get in bed. And, you know, and watch Sopranos for, you know, from season 1 through 16.
We go watch John Wick.
All right. And from my man, Pasta, this is Dan Avone. Until next week, so long, everybody.
You ordered the code red.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!